Okay, Kuf Lamed Vav, let's go a little bit. Let's go a little bit forward on the sugya of how we live with she'ifas together with the inability to fulfill them, how that fits into Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim, because that's really all we're dealing with, and Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, how that works. And we just started, but let's go through it again at the bottom of Kuf Lamed Vav. The Rambam. You can ask a non-quick question as well.
This, what we're talking about here recently, saying that even if you haven't lived up to your aspirations, you haven't reached them, we need to have aspirations. We'll be judged. Why don't you want to be great? Why do you want to be mediocre? But even until we reach there, let's assume we've got aspirations, we haven't reached them yet, we can still serve Hashem. We must serve Him with simcha, with love, with be happy that we're still challenged by it, that we're going through it, right? Because the Torah wants us to not feel like that. He wants us to feel low and obsessed and sad, and that's the opposite. We thank God alive, we're serving Hashem, we're doing it. And yes, we haven't reached the aspiration yet, but I'm serving Hashem, that's Malchus Shemayim. The other one is, I'm taking on Kabbalah Satorah, that's a serving Hashem with all my heart, with my heart, I'm loving Him, I'm happy, I'm the simcha. And yes, I haven't got there yet, but the fact I haven't got there yet, I can still be happy. I'm on the right track. It's two separate things, being happy.
I never said anything about being happy. I don't remember anywhere you're discussing happy. Happy is a chiyuv you have to do. That's nothing. We're not dealing with happy yet. Simcha, yeah. No, I'm not dealing with happy yet. We're dealing with, on the one hand, Mosa Yagia Maise, Avram Yitzhak for Yaakov. Every day, yearning and striving and trying to be like Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And today, my reality, and that's no stira. That makes you happy, gesundheit. If it doesn't, then you better work on your happiness. So that's nothing to do with this directly. Who says a chiyuv to be happy? That's a bechira decision you have to make. We're talking about something else. We're talking about Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim and Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. I'm striving and yearning to be greater than great, way beyond what I'm able to achieve right now, but I'm wanting that. And it's no steer to the fact that right now I deal with reality the way it is.
But how I'm dealing with reality the way it is, I must be upset that I haven't got there. Because if I get upset...
If you're dealing with reality the way it is, you wouldn't get upset. Because you'd accept the fact that you're in the best possible place for you. And you have everything you need, and you have everything. And you have everything you need to serve Hashem the way He wants you to serve Him now. Ever contradict to that might sound, that's the paradox we have to live with.
It doesn't mean you can't get greater. Yeah, happy where you are, but it doesn't mean you can't come.
Again, I don't know what it means to be happy with where I am. And Eloy Damazi, happy to be where you are. I don't know what that means. I accept reality the way it is. I might be very disappointed as well. That's also fine.
Being in touch with real.
He said it. I never said anything about simcha. I said, you have a chiyuv to be with simcha. That's got nothing to do with us. That's a separate sugya.
Third thing. It's not
the simcha. It's not a third thing or a fifth thing. It's something else.
It's not a condition of those.
If I would accept reality the way it is and be disappointed with that reality, that's not a deterrent from my accepting reality the way it is. I accept reality the way it is. I would like it to be something else, but right now I live with what it is. The next step is I recognize that this reality is exactly where Hashem wants me to be, and I have everything I need to serve Him properly. That should lead to a sense of simcha, yes. And it's no steerer to the fact that I want to be Moshe Rabbeinu. I want on my tombstone that I was Ma'amin Kamoshe Rabbeinu. That's what I want. And right now, I'm not even sure whether there is a God or not. That's where my reality is now, and I'm working in that space of where I am now. And then I have a look and say, but you are aspiring there. This is where you are now. So what are you going to do about heading in that direction? Then I'll sit down and I'll work out some kind of a plan of how to take one step out of real towards that ideal. And that's where I'll make my life. I don't live there. I live here. No, no, we're always trying to, that's what he said, we're always trying to take one step out of where we are. We're Bnei Aliyah. We're trying to grow, of course. But it also doesn't mean that I don't celebrate what I am doing. I have my limud, I have my learning, I can do this, I can do that. Bochash, wow, I'm the happiest guy in town. Ah, what about changing? For sure, that also makes me happy that I want to change. Yeah. Dreaming while you're awake is the point of it. And sometimes the aspirations can be so insane that even someone who's insane will think you're insane. I'll give you an example. The Ponovitcherov was busy explaining to Aaron Kotler his dream about Ponovitch Yeshiva there on the mountain. Going to be 1,000 Bochrim learning or whatever. Now, Rav Aaron was a bit of a crazy as well. You know, he dreamed about 10,000 Bochrim in Lakewood when he couldn't get a minyan. You know, he was also who was a little bit out off the charts, Rav Aaron. He was a raving genius and he had. And he was busy explaining the Ponovitcherov to Rav Aaron, this dream he has for Bnei Brak, you know, this little, a few log cabins on the beach there. And he was, he set aside, if you've ever been to the cemetery in Bnei Brak, it's a massive piece of land. The Ponovitcherov set that aside to the cemetery before there was anyone actually living in Bnei Brak. Well, there were hardly anyone living in Bnei Brak. They said, what's that? He said, that's the cemetery. It was like, what are you talking about? Is this going to be a big city, I wonder? Rav Aaron turned around to his son and said to him afterwards, he said, Nebuch, look what the Holocaust did to him. You see, he lost, Ponovitcherov's whole family was wiped out in the Holocaust. He was the only one that survived. So Rav Aaron said, Nebuch, look, it's the Machne Meshuggah. It's Gabon Meshuggah, that's what he's. The Rav Aaron, the Meshuggah, thought the Ponovitcherov had lost the plot. So someone said to Ponovitcherov, you're dreaming. He said, yeah, but I'm not asleep. And look what he built. Now, whether he built it or not would have made no difference according to what he said. He's striving and yearning for what he wanted. That's one sugya, and you get rewarded for that. And then there's another sugya, brick by brick. You slowly build what you're building. And whether you achieve it or not, nishkefelach. There was a dakufa in South Africa where it wasn't clear how much longer we would be in South Africa for. Things were getting pretty rough, and it wasn't, no one knew what the future was going to be. At the transition, and things were really, really not so posh. The Beit Yaakov was in a place that wasn't exactly, it had become slowly, slowly, that Jewish neighborhood had slowly been taken over by less desirable. And it wasn't a posh place to send girls in every day to go to Beit Yaakov. To move the Beit Yaakov and build a new Beit Yaakov when who knows where we're going to be tomorrow. Hard decision, no? You can't leave it there, but at the same time, you can't move it because moving it means building a new Beit Yaakov. What are you going to do? Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, that's all happened to be in South Africa at the time. Brosnan's very interesting about this problem. His father, our Gross was his father. He was a chray on the Beis Yaakov. He was the Nossi of the Beis Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg told him, you need a new Beis Yaakov today, you build a new Beis Yaakov today. You only put down 3 bricks today because that's all you had time to do before you have to leave. You built the Beis Yaakov because that was the only Beis Yaakov Hashem wanted you to build. But to sit back and say, I'm leaving tomorrow, I'm not building today, so the Jew doesn't do that. You do what you have to do today. They built the Beis Yaakov. I'm going back 30 years. The Beis Yaakov's still running. It's still going. It's still there. So and then they closed down the next day and everyone was backed up and left because that was also on a possibility. You get rewarded for having built the Beis Yaakov before you put down was 1 brick. You have to do what you have to do. After you've done what you have to do, Kosh Boch has to do what he has to do. But you can't make a time and say, well, I did everything I could when you did it. You have to do everything you can do. Even though what you can do is irrational and illogical. It doesn't make any sense. What am I going to do? I'm going to put a brick down and say, yeah, I built the Beis Yaakov. Doesn't make sense. What is all you can do? That was all you could do. Well done. Yeah, Rav Taube's mother having babies in the Holocaust. And yeah. You do what you have to do. And then, of course, Bokhu do what he has to do. And you always have to do as much as you can do. The Briskerov said, you're only going to be asked one question. Did you do everything you could do? Yeah, but even if I'd done it, it wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't. No. You have to do everything you can do. And then Rabbeinu Shalom will do what he can do. That's the way we make our lives. Okay. Everything you can do right now is read one Rashi. Because in one moment, all you can read is one Rashi, let's say. Don't get philosophical about time with me now. It's a difficult one. But let's say you had a minute, and in that minute, you learned a minute's worth of Rashi. You just did everything you could. You just did everything you could. In that moment, you just learned the whole Shas. You just finished the whole Shas. Because in 1 minute, all you could learn was that part of Shas. Say, this minute, you just learned Kulu Shas. You get first amazing, you get another minute. So use that minute for whatever that minute was meant to be used for. That's all. At the end of the day, you might be able to account for 10 minutes. That's impressive. Tomorrow, try 11. The Chofetz Chaim once was crying on Erev Yom Kippur because he couldn't find 10 minutes. I'm ecstatic if I have 10 minutes. He had his whole year worked out clearly, but there was 10 minutes. He couldn't remember what he'd done with it. He was very upset. I'm happy if I know what I did with 10 minutes of my year. So that's my reel. His reel was a bit different. And we're both striving for the same thing. We're both yearning for exactly the same thing. What did he achieve? 90%. What did I get? 10%. So what? In my world, I got 100%. In his world, he got 100%. Only on a daily basis. Yom yom chabibi. Yom yom. One day at a time. Preparing is no one to compare to. There is no one else other than you. I have my cheshbon with Hashem. My chavosoy. I'll prove it to you. The Maseilas Yesharim says the beginning of everything is knowing ma chavosoy ba'olamoy. It's in the singular. You have to know what your obligation in your world is, because in your world they play by different rules than in my world. There's a klal aspect as well. In a chinami, part of the klal also. Of all the ikka void is vayevasa Yaakov levadoy. You're alone with Hashem in the world. Okay. Again, sorry, I'm not hearing you. Sure. Not just as you grow. Your obligation in the morning is shakris. In the afternoon, it's mincha. Right now, my obligation is to be talking to you. In 30 seconds, it might be to talk to you. Yeah, it's all the time. We're always checking. Well, you have to be doing whatever you're supposed to be doing at this time, based on this, based on that. Yeah. No. It's got to be badass. It's got to be b'shikol hadas. It's got to be. You haven't seen the Gedolei Yisrael just blonzing through life. The Briskerov said he wouldn't lift a finger unless he'd gone through Shulchan Aruch. Rav Gutzman noted. Rav Gutzman. The youngest dying on the Vilna Basin, the only one that survived the war. It was the God Ladoya. It was by Rav Chaim Oizer in Vilna when the Briskerov was there. And he noticed that when Rav Chaim Oizer came in, the Briskerov stood up a little bit later than everybody else. And when he sat down, after Rav Chaim Oizer sat down, he sat down a little bit later than everybody else. Rav Gutzman wanted to know, Mark, what's this? What's this about? Interesting question, huh? It wasn't like 10 minutes later, was it? It was a little bit late on getting up and a little bit late on sitting down. And Rav Gutzman wanted to understand the Torah. So he asked the Briskerov, Mazi, He said to him, you got good eyes. You noticed. The Rizkarov said, when I'm sitting, in order for me to stand up, I have to change what I'm doing. Andy, you listening? I have to change what I'm doing. In order to change what I'm doing, I need a reason. So I had to go through the Rambam and find a reason that takes time. When I'm standing, I have to change my position and sit down. You don't just sit down. If you sit down, you have a reason for sitting down. I have to go through the Rambam again to see whether I have to sit down or not. There's a lochas about standing up and sitting down in front of a rock. It took him half a nanosecond. Okay? But it takes time. That's what he was saying. You have to understand these are conversations between great people. All I'm saying is, of course it's got to be logical. Now, we don't go through the Rambam every time we want to look at the watch. Because in the world of aspirations and she'ifas, I'm yearning for everything. Lemaisa, the Ponovitzerov was the most practical businessman, down to earth, feet on the ground, you know, estate agent and fundraiser in Reb Aaron as well. They didn't run their businesses recklessly and just throw money away and whatever. It was done with a clear cheshbon, and of course, that's exactly what we say. Avada. Buy the land, set it aside. They also had a vision, these people. So they made decisions that looked weird to us, but then it wasn't weird. To the point of which Jerome was poshut, there's going to be 200,000-300,000 people living here one day. Because he understood reality. Ruach HaKodesh to a certain extent, but that's not our subject. But Avada, that's exactly the point. I can yearn about building yeshiva for 1,000 bochrim when there's only about 3 people learning Torah in the whole world after the Holocaust. And that's not a stereo, because that's what I'm yearning for. And at the same time, you go slowly, recruit one bochur here, another one there, build here, find the money, how are you going to pay for it, how are you going to do it? That's going to be done with an enormous shikl, with a sense of responsibility that would blow our pay, how responsible they were with everything they did. You eat a one shekel little gila leban, can you eat that when you, let me tell you the story. I was once standing talking to the Rosh Hashiva in Tifra. And you asked one of the bochrim, it was in the morning, so after davening, to bring him from the kitchen a gila. You know the little lebens, the little yogurts, call it a Israeli version of yogurt, like 1 shekel 20 yogurt. A little plastic tub. The tub's probably worth more than a yogurt. You know, a little plastic thing that destroys the environment. Yeah, that's with a little blob of white cow stuff in there. Yeah, okay. So I asked the bocher to bring it to. While I was talking to him, it came clear to him whatever that he had to go home. So in the bocher going back to give him the yogurt, he said, "I can't eat it now because I'm going home and I can't eat on the yeshiva's cheshbon if I'm not going to be in the yeshiva." I found that quite astounding. You're in the yeshiva 29 hours a day. You happen to have to go home, probably not because of, you know, not because he wanted to play Pac-Man. That wasn't why he was going home. He probably had to go home. So what's the problem with, no, if I'm in the yeshiva and I'm working in the yeshiva, I'm entitled to the food in the yeshiva. But if I'm not going to be in the yeshiva for an hour, I can't use the yeshiva's food. Who's raising the money to pay for the yeshiva? That's not, that's nothing to do with it. That's a sense of responsibility. It sounds almost petty. But these awesome people at that level, that's Yaakov Avinu went over the river to get a few pachim katanim. That's, and at the same time, a vision and a dream and an outrageous. No scary at all. That's the point. Because it's two separate sugyas. You're going to be crazy and meshuga in your dreams. I'm trying to be like Avraham Avinu. Okay. This psychiatric cures for psychosis, you know? You're trying to be like Avraham Avinu, Beseda, calm down. No, I want to be like Avraham Avinu. Now put your feet down on the ground and live like you are now. Slowly improving. And still dreaming about how careful it'll be to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the problem? That's what he's saying. You know what I'm saying? It's what he's saying, I think. Okay. Where are we? Oh, there, turned over. Let's have a look at this inside in the Rambam. Yeah. Because he's born in Era, Kigamba Rambam, Hilchis Isura Beer, Perigud Dalit, Nifsa Kates and Makablim is Geira Tzedek. Then the Rambam brings down in Halacha, because that's always the go-to at the end of the day. How do we accept converts? If a guy comes to Magaya, we check off him and we see, okay, this looks like a fair enough deal. I'm Rimlo. What did you see here that you came to Magaya? Don't you know that Israel clearly is persecuted and pursued and tortured and Yisurim are coming upon them? You know what you're stepping into here? There's no rose garden. This is heavy stuff. He says, yeah, I know better than I want. For me, it's worth it. As Makablim Oysam Miyad. That's the Kabbalah from Malchus Shemayim. He's prepared to go through Gehenna to be a Jew. The Achakach afterwards, Moedim Oysam Mitzvah Kalad Zechum. Then you start teaching him Shulchan Aruch. Then you start teaching him all the mitzvahs. First, you tell him, listen, you become a Jew, you're going to be tortured, pursued, ostracized, Yisurim. He says, okay, you accept him straight away. Then you start teaching him mitzvahs, colors, b'chumuris. Umefarash Rashi, I don't know where Rashi explains this from, because this is a Rambam, but we don't have a Rashi on the Rambam. One of the few things Rashi didn't write on. Practically going to be a problem, right? Because he was born after Rashi passed away. So to have a Pirush of Rashi on the Rambam would be impressive. Okay, so I don't know what he means by Mefarash Rashi. Where's Rashi Mefarash? And this the Rambam is quoting the Gemara. This is Rashi right. Gemara. Okay, the sources are not so good. When he says it's worth it for me, what he's saying is, I should be worthy to such a thing. When a guy comes to me, Magaya, the place we test him, we check him out, are you prepared to get burnt as Kiddush Hashem? That's where we test him. I love that does QD, Oivis Hashem is Brach Bakol Tnai. A Jew loves Hashem unconditionally. Bakol Navshacha, Bakol Avavcha, Bakol Maadecha, you have to love him unconditionally. Rakachel Shumakires Madregas Kabbalos of Malchus Shammai. Only after you recognize what Kabbalos, how far Kabbalos of Malchus Shammai can take you. Rakachel Shumakif Pesichloi, who believe I. Only after he can get his seichel fully in touch with the incredible love that exists between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and vice versa, that's pashut. Only that unconditional love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu ad kedei mesiras nefesh. That's the nekuda we test him on. Without that, you can't have a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. No, I'm a cover all the mitzvahs, and I'll do them all, just not. Not at Kadam Sirus Nefesh. There was never anyone more frum than me. There was never one did the mitzvahs better than me. Sorry. The law of primus shall kesha avim a korosh bochu kaim chesorim be kabbalah sol mitzvahs. That's what the Gemara in Brochus we learned is. The first has to be a kabbalah sol malchus shamayim before you can have a kabbalah sol mitzvahs. Otherwise, have the kabbalah sol mitzvahs first. No, you can't. It's not the way we mechanech our children, by the way. We don't wait until our children love Hashem and He loves Hashem and Kabbalah Machamayim before we start mechanicing them in mitzvah. You first train them like you train a horse how to do things. That's another story. But you want him to get stuck there, God forbid. The first thing he has to do when he becomes Bar Mitzvah is say Shema. That's Kabbalah Machu Shamayim. That's the first thing. After he's Besimcha, that's the second way. Kabbalah Machu Shamayim. chinuch is a different story. The mitzvah, the rabbanon of chinuch doesn't work like this. Said, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, ani manyen shen nisharet oto ba'asias mitzvoisov, ki ma'ik partes lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu, mi sheshoichet min atzavo, mi lo sheshoichet min ha'oref. Lo nitna mitzvah zel etzaref emes ha'priyois. Kvo vidrash breishis rabba, parshas mem dadet, psika alef klema, ikatach nisam mitzvah si shenale v'nizdakech. The ikar tachlis of the mitzvahs is that we go up every day a little bit more. We become more purified, more polished. But the day kach near kshurim alav yisbarach b'kesher shel ava. As one great man once said, all 612 mitzvahs are to bring you to the 613.
What is that?
All the mitzvahs are there to bring you to avas tashem alakech b'chul avas b'chul avas. That all the mitzvahs are about is to get you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu to become one. Kleime ikke tachlis amitzesi shenale venizdakeh. Val yedei kach nekshurim alav yisparach b'keshes shel ahavo. That's the tachlis of the mitzvahs. Kol ha-mitzvah shana oisim hen bitu la'av u'lekeshe shelanu alav yisparach. We express in every mitzvah we do, we're expressing a desire, a yearning to get closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it's about. So if you're doing the mitzvahs and there's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you doing the mitzvahs? Stam, it's an earth ritual. It's a religious thing, which has nothing to do with Judaism. It's an earth ritual. No, the mitzvahs are about getting mechubat or kodesh baruch hu. If there's no kabbalah, there's no kodesh baruch hu, there's no kesher with the kodesh baruch hu, why are you doing the mitzvahs?
The mitzvahs themselves have the capability to assist you in getting to kabbalah's machshavah. I know that.
Of course, an excellent question. They work hand in hand. If you have Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim first, you have to start with that. Every time you do a mitzvah, it's going to enhance your Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. That Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim is going to enhance your Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, and it's going to go up and up and up in the spiral like it is. I'll tell you the marshal. Two people, they love each other. So they give to each other. The more they give to each other, the more they love each other. The more you love somebody, the more you want to give to them. The more you give to them, the more you love them, etc., etc., etc. It's exactly the same with Hashem.
Someone is struggling with the Kabbalah. Obviously, still do Kabbalah.
If he's struggling with Kabbalah Somach Hashemayim, there's been a Kabbalah Somach Hashemayim. Otherwise, why is he struggling with something that doesn't exist? I haven't got to the spits of Kabbalah Somach Hashemayim. Odlo yiganu lemaisim shel Avraham Yitzchak veYaakov. Nachon? But I'm grappling with Kabbalah Samach Shemai. No, so why just say Shema once a week? I was Kabbalah Samach Shemai already. No, was willst du von mir? Three times a day, four times a day, I got to kiss him. Kabbalah Samach Shemai. But after Hashem Elokech, yeah, because it's a process. You don't just get, you know. I was Kabbalah Samach Shemai. That's it. Finished. Now I'm off to do mitzvahs. No, you have to be continuing Kabbalah Shemayim based on the new level you've achieved through the mitzvahs you did. The last time we Kabbalah Shemayim, and it's endless, it's infinite how far we can go. And we can go very far because we're starting very low. You know, there was Rabbi Chanina ben Doises, who started a little bit higher up than us, you know. They had no personal desires. Their only desire was, what does Hashem want? And they did whatever Hashem wanted. Therefore, the levels of betochen were at slightly different place to ours. We're starting a little bit lower, so we've got a bit more work to do. But if you're struggling with Kabbalah Samach Shemayim, then you're in the world of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. Then you will make Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. Otherwise, why are you struggling? You're going to wait until you're perfect, and then you'll start doing it. No.